He doesn't say my father here. He says our father. Oh, now hang on. Are you telling me I'm a sibling with Jesus?
Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast right after Father's Day. Did you have a good Father's Day, man?
I had a great Father's Day. Sure did. Yeah. Got to take all my kids and friends and spouses to Five Guys.
Yep. So you spent $1,216?
Yeah, I paid for it.
For a few burgers?
Yeah. The oldest and her husband got there before the rest of us, so they went ahead and took care of theirs. But, happy Father's Day. Thanks, Dad. But now, they did, they got me some cool gifts the night before. They gave them on Saturday night. My son, they came and set bags down. I'm holding the grandson in the rocking chair and everything and set them. They probably sat there 30 minutes, the bags. They're like, Dad, when you go open the gifts? When you go, well, I'll open them, in a little bit. Come on, you got to open. I said, okay. So I'm sitting there with the grandson, and I lean over, I pull the paper out of the bag from my son, and I reach in. I'm like, oh, boy, that feels cold and, kind of slimy. And he got me two ribeye steaks for Father's Day. Yeah. So they were just there in the bag. I mean, they still had the wrap on them and stuff.
But yeah.
Anyway, little heads
he
up.
He wanted you to cook some steaks for him.
Well, he'll cook the steaks. But I don't, I can't eat two. But I don't think he was just thinking of dear old Dad. So, but it was good. It was good Father's Day. Got a nap in the afternoon. I don't always do that on Sunday afternoon. So it was kind of rainy around
here. Yeah.
Rain and humidity around here has been, I don't remember it being this humid.
Yeah, it's
pretty
bad.
Be wrong, but it is so stinking humid. Unbelievable. Yeah. You even let that dog out at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's just like, goodness.
Yeah. I see it all over my windows.
Oh, yeah.
It's so outside. But it's
I got them coming to replace some of the ridge vents on my house because I've got some condensation dripping on my vents. Mm. So, anyway.
Well, good.
But,
glad you had a good
first world good day. Problems. It first was a good day. Problems. It was a good day. Yep. Sure enough. Good day. I don't know. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You kind of took a break from the book of Revelation, and we're talking about Matthew chapter 6. And you only talk about two words in Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6 is that, it's that famous passage of the model prayer. But I don't know. I thought it was an interesting approach. I didn't know where you're going with that. Like I was trying to listen and take some notes. I'm like, how's he gonna do? But no, it worked out good. Like,
so I did a series, a midweek series. I don't know. Sometime within the last year.
Yeah.
On the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. I mean, I don't call it the Lord's Prayer because clearly this is not something the Lord would have to pray for, forgive us of our sins.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I touched on it briefly about, our Father and what it tells. And I thought, man, I'm just going to dig in a little bit more on that because I think it's very key for us to understand who God is. And I even make the statement a couple of times in the sermon that if we don't have a right view of God, then it doesn't matter what else we get right. And you can even make the argument, you don't have a right view of God, you're not going to get anything else right.
Yeah. And I've thought about that statement for a long time. And the way that I kind of think about it is having this high view of God. Right. And, there's even a famous quote that from, Tozer that talks about, the thing that comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you.
Mm.
And, but again, the way that you kind of just laid this foundation starting off going, we do have to have a proper understanding of God. We have to have a proper understanding of who our Father is. And It's, yeah, really eye-opening.
For quite some time, and I would say within the last 25 years is when I've noticed it more, but it's been around for quite some time. It's almost this idea that you refer to God as Father, then you're basically saying God is man, God is masculine, God only cares about a man or a male, and that is so far from the truth. And I even addressed the deal of the gender. What is it?
The gender neutral Bible.
Gender neutral. I was going to say gender inclusive, but that's the world we live in. Gender neutral Bible.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's called, I believe, the Today's New International Version.
Goodness.
The Today's New International Version. But to go through and, hey, we're going to remove any reference to God in the masculine pronouns or, I mean, and the point that I try to make through the whole thing is no, it's not. It's not a biological thing. This is a theological thing.
Yeah.
That we refer to him as Father because it is communicating to mankind how he responds to us, the relationship that we have with him, and I think people really are stressing on things that are not needed to be stressed on, and they're trying to make something out of something that is really not there. I mean, he's a good father, and it's not knocking mothers.
Yeah.
It is placing it in the context so we can understand the way that he relates to us, and the kind of the whole sermon is built around those two words. Our Father, I think, teaches us some important characteristics of who God is, and the characteristics that he displays within our lives. Gives us a good understanding of who he is.
Yeah. And then I thought it was comical. You were talking about the liberal pulpits and it's right. You're right. Like there are people that are taking a lot of liberties. There are people that are saying things that aren't completely accurate, and they're taking their own approach to scripture, and you know, we know that that's damaging to society. It's damaging to the church. It's damaging to what people believe and what they understand about who God is. And yeah, I agree with your statement.
Well, and the wording I used was politically correct pulpits of, you know, I want to make sure I say the right hot button word of the moment. And I want to press hard against anything that would be considered orthodox or mainstream. And, you know, I even sit there and say, hey, when somebody says, oh, no, God's not Father, we need to call God Mother, or we need to, you're not robbing God of anything that rightfully belongs to him. Basically, what you're doing is you're saying, well, you're affecting the way that we're able to understand it, but you're affecting what rightfully belongs to ours is to us as his children.
Yeah.
And just silly things that I'm like, why in the world would we get so bent out of shape about this? And it can, you can get so focused on the moment, and I'm going to say the mud, that you lose sight of eternal and, let's say, the ocean, for lack of a better term.
Right.
This has happened traditionally down through the ages.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't call God Father. We can't call God Father. Mm. But yet, Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Nobody debates whether he actually said that.
Right.
Nobody debates, oh, is that a legit prayer, or did somebody come along later, and as they say on other passages, and they changed it. Nobody debates that. They just sit here and say, well, he shouldn't have said it. Jesus shouldn't have said it that way, because Jesus is confusing us. Wow. I would say if there's confusion, it has nothing to do with what Jesus said.
Right.
It has everything to do with the way you're looking at things. And maybe, as we were talking about earlier, you've fabricated your own idea of who God is in relation to you. But yet we know he is the same at all times and in all places to all people.
Yeah.
He's Father. Don't let Father, our Father, don't let those Don't let that be a title or a term
right.
that brings about disappointment or, I don't know, that causes you to elevate one particular sex above another sex. No, we're taking everything out of proportion here.
Well, and it's easy to, you know, play the comparison game too for those people that maybe had fathers that weren't, you know, good at all.
Well, like, and I could see the struggle.
Compare. Yeah.
I could see the struggle with that. Oh, I don't want to think of him as father, because when I think of father, I had a terrible earthly father. And, you know, as gently and kindly as you can, you just say, but that's not who God is.
Yeah.
I mean, God is a good father. God is the greatest of all fathers, that even if you had a bad earthly father, I mean, it's bad. It's unfortunate. Your heart breaks for someone that had to deal with something like that. But yet it still doesn't rob God of who he is and what God wants to do in your life and how God wants to relate to you. And the point that we just kept pressing over and over again is the unconditional love of God.
Yeah.
The unconditional love of God. I would say probably the only relationship that any of us have that is an unconditional love.
Well, and I even appreciate the, as you were getting to kind of the meat of your message after your, you know, 15 minute introduction, you know, you tell us as a reminder of who our Father is, that he knows us, he understands us, he cares for us. And I think people resonate with that. I think they need to hear it, even though it's something that's a common message out of the pulpit here all the time. But understanding and just being reassured of the goodness and the nature of who God is. I was reading something the other day. It's like, you know what? It's God can't change. It's part of his nature to be this way. And so that's who he is, and that's who he's always going to be. And because of the fact that he can't change, then the promise still stands, and he's always going to be this way. And to me, there's comfort and joy there, and there's encouragement. But
well, you know, and to follow that up, what would he change to?
Right.
Yeah. If he's already perfect.
Yeah.
What would he change to? I don't know. How do you make perfect better? I guess there are folks out there that would say, oh, he's a faulty God, or he's a flawed God. No. He is. We would not even know the term good.
Yeah.
If it were not for him. And celebrate that. Thank God for that. Embrace that as, I mean, even as we were getting ready today, just in here having general conversation of things that we deal with in day-to-day life and disappointments and people and just all around. You know, I say this all the time as well. You hang around me long enough, I promise I'm going to disappoint you in some way, because we're all flawed. But don't let that project upon God.
Yeah.
God is not.
Yeah.
And God's love for you is absolutely perfect. He cannot improve on perfection. And thank God that we serve a perfect God. In reality, who wants a God that's imperfect?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm thankful to know that when we wake up every morning, we don't have to sit there and ask the question, gee, wonder what kind of God he's going to be today.
Yeah.
I even made this statement. I don't like having meetings on Monday morning, and I had a long meeting this morning. And there's a reason why, because usually on Mondays I'm spent because of just the emotional and spiritual aspect that takes place in what we do. And, you know, so it's not good for me to do meetings on Monday morning. And I did a meeting today, and, you know, you can usually sit there and probably say, oh man, we're going to have a meeting and the pastor's going to be in there on Monday morning, man. It's not going to be a good meeting for him. And I'm thankful to know that God's the same God on Monday that he is on Friday.
Well, and you, I thought it was, you said we don't have to make an appointment to meet with God. And I was like, you know, that's so true. Like, you know, not that I would have to have an appointment to meet with my earthly father, but, you know, sometimes we think God may be busy or got other things. No, we don't have to. Like, he is always readily available because he knows, he understands, and he cares.
And it's not a situation to where it's like, well, you know, I really have better things to do, or I really don't want to talk to you right now, but I am God, so. Go ahead.
He's not bugged by our.
No. He desires that. Yeah. He longs for that. Maybe a better way to say it is you don't have to have an appointment. Maybe the better way to say that is you have a standing open appointment with him.
Yeah.
24/7. Yeah. And he desires, he longs for us to come to him.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to know that we have that kind of God. You look at some of the other, I'll say, religious systems throughout the world. You see of heavy judgment. You see of transcendent. You see of so many other things, standoffish, not welcoming, looking for reasons to punish. And all of those are the exact opposite of what we know as the living God or the God of the Bible, who is for us, not against us.
Yeah.
And even in his discipline and his judgment, he is loving in that. It's unlike anything. It almost seems too good to be true. Surely this can't be. Surely there's no eternal deity that would behave this way.
Yeah.
Yet that is the God of the Bible. And so our Father, when Jesus says that, a phrase that he refers to many times, my Father, my Father, I think 170 plus is what I said in the New Testament, my Father, my Father, my Father. It would have been very natural and easy for him to say, and let the weight of this sink in. He doesn't say my Father here.
Yeah.
He says our Father.
Yeah.
Well, now hang on. Are you telling me I'm a sibling with Jesus?
Mm.
Well, he just said our Father.
Yeah.
Rightfully an heir to everything that he is through him, that God says that. So much depth just in that statement that we probably didn't even scratch.
Yeah.
To be able to say with Jesus, which this is not the preacher saying, say our Father.
Right.
You know, this is not some guy that you're like, I remember him when he's saying our Father.
Yeah.
This is Jesus. When you pray, pray our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father.
And, you know, your first point that talking about some of the things of our Father, like he's the author of everything that we have. And you know, you referenced that scripture in Matthew where, you know, he provides for the birds and the lilies of the field, all those things. And again, just kind of putting it into perspective, going, you know, if he provides that for them, like how much more will he give us, and how much more will he provide for us as our Father? And again, like I think one of the beautiful things about this type of message is there's so many realities of who God is that are very practical in our life. And I think people just need to be reminded of these things over and over again. And I don't know. It was, even though it was a message for fathers on this Father's Day, it kind of expands beyond the fathers. And it's just for all of us. Like,
sure. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the verse that in Matthew 6:26, and I love the fact that these are things that he speaks about just after the model prayer, almost like, hey, let me remind you why we're praying this way. And to sit there and make the statement, man, the birds, he's going to make sure they're taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay? He loves you more.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't die for the birds.
Right.
You know, I don't see God inviting the birds, come lay every, you know, you have a heavy laden and a burden, come lay it on my shoulders. And he's going to make sure they're taken care of. And yet here we are that are valued in his eyes. He's going to make sure that our needs are met. He's going to make sure that we have what we need.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, again, we get this faulty view of God, almost like God wants to rob us of stuff instead of giving us stuff.
Yeah.
He wants to rob me of joy. He wants to rob me of, I've heard this forever, especially, you know, when you did student work and stuff, of fun.
Yeah.
He wants to rob me of fun. He doesn't want me to have any fun. And then you want to say, well, how would you define fun?
Yeah.
Is fun like being promiscuous and sleeping with everybody you want to? Yeah. You know what that's eventually called? An STD. That's what that's called, right? Fun. I don't know why y'all are laughing on that one. That's true. No, he loves so much, and he gives, yeah. and he gives, and you're valuable to me. I love you. I've got great plans for you. I've made a way of escape and salvation and joy, and really, you can examine your own life, and anything that you have in your life that you would consider to be of any value has come as a direct gift from the hand of God.
Yeah, for sure. And I was thinking this morning, you know, as I was kind of reading and doing some praying, like, you know, I even wrote this as a prayer, you know, God, like he's the hope when there is no hope. He's the, you know, he's the joy when we think we don't have joy. He's what sustains when we think all is falling apart. Like, and again, just having this correct understanding of who God is. And then you even talk about how he's God alone. There's nobody like him, and he has the right he has the right to do what he wants. He has the right to rule over us because he is God alone. And again, that just goes back to that high view of God, having that strong understanding of who he is, what he does, how he works.
Well, and it's that added on phrase, our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Another way to translate, our Father above the heavens.
Yeah.
Our Father, I mean, we could keep going all day, right? Our Father who orders the heavens.
Yeah.
So we need to understand there is a God who is alive and well, who loves us, cares for us, provides for us, meets our needs. He says there, my children are not going to have to beg. I'm going to make sure they're taken care of. And there are people that will pull that out of context. Oh, no, that's not true. I went without. I'll never forget. I had somebody, you know, one time come in and go, you said that he would meet my needs, and he's not met my needs. And I'm like, what need has he not met? I can't even pay my cable bill. And you're like, I think we need to have a lesson on needs and wants, right? Needs and wants. Yeah. But that's who he is, and he alone is God.
Yeah.
We live in a day and time where, what is it? I'm the master of my domain, or I'm the controller of my future.
Yeah.
And it usually goes something like this. If you'll just see it in your mind, it'll happen.
Mm.
We'll take a little bit of scripture out of context and sprinkle it on it. Man, if you'll just believe it and say it, it'll be done. And we're putting a lot more value in our power than the one who is the Father in heaven. He alone is God. And so what we're doing when we say that, even though there may be things that happen in our life, we're like, well, it doesn't seem like he's a loving, giving God Why would that happen to me? No. What happens when, with our children, if you're a good father, okay, with our children, when we have to say no?
Yeah.
Or we have to say, not now. Well, what does a spoiled child do? I mean, I've seen it with kids before. They fall down on the floor and they kick and scream and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I've got goodness, how old is my grandson now? What is he, 8 weeks? And, I mean, he can't fall on the floor and kick and scream. Kid can't even walk.
But he can scream.
He can scream. And, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, man, I want it, and I want it now. Well, you know, with an eight-week-old child, you're like, well, okay, well, it's a baby. It's a toddler. But an 8-year-old or an 18-year-old And so when we realize he alone is God, and I'll take it a step further, he alone is the only one that can rightfully have others address him as our Father in heaven.
Mm. Yeah.
Our Father in heaven. Whose Father? Mine and Jesus's.
Yeah.
Where is he? He's way above anything you can believe or see.
Mm.
And so just as he is above anything that we can understand, ultimately, it comes down to the point where do I trust him that he is moving and working in my life?
Yeah.
That he is he's accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in my life. Can I trust him with uncertainties? Can I trust him with difficult things?
Yeah.
Can I trust him before I've even walked into tomorrow or walked into a place? Well, either he's God or he's not.
Yeah.
He's God when it comes to salvation. He's just not God of the everyday.
Yeah.
Well, those can't exist independent of each other.
Yeah. We try really hard to make it, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We want to limit God, which if we would just stop and think about that, right. we would have to laugh.
Yeah.
Well, no, if he's God, you can't limit him because he's God.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to him. He's God.
Yeah.
But I don't mean that, when I focused on that point, it was not to declare, shut your mouth, sit down, don't question. He is God as much as, hey, take joy. Your father is God.
I think there's a fine line. I think there is this line of, for a lot of us, like, we know that. We intellectually know that. We've heard it. We say we believe it, but sometimes living that out we're never going to say it out loud, right? We're never going to say that we don't trust God. Most of us aren't going to say that we don't trust God. Most of us aren't going to say that we don't think God can do what he can. But sometimes, like, the way that we live and the way that we respond and the way that we put our resources and our hope and our trust in other things, but the reality is, when you look at the characteristics and attributes of God, you look at who he is and everything that he does, the fact that he has given us everything. He is the only one. He affectionately loves his children. He cares. He is everything that we need. It's weird to me that we lose sight of that. I don't know why. I don't know why we lose sight of that sometimes, but it's all through scripture of who he is and how he works.
It's the word goodness.
Yeah.
The goodness of God. And in Romans, Paul says he is working all things for the good of those that are called according to his purposes, right? So if he's working all things to good, now don't misunderstand what he is saying. He's not saying all things are good. I can promise you there's some things that happen in life that you would not say are good. My own personal testimony, 21 years of age, falling asleep, driving a car one night and having a terrible automobile accident and breaking all kinds of bones and things along those lines. There's never been a time where I'm like, boy, that's good.
Yeah.
I decided Saturday I would get out there and I would do my yard again. And so I put my sunscreen on. All right, I'm good to go. Had my muscle shirt on. I'm telling you, I was Southport head to toe. And I'm sitting there, and my problem is I probably should have reapplied 3 or 4 times, but I didn't. And now I am burnt on my shoulders and everything. I just say this, that's not good.
Yeah.
I hope to learn from that. I'm 55. I hope to learn from that. A lot of folks approach everything that happens in life that way. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. God said it'd be good. Just because you'd say something's not good, it doesn't rob him of his goodness. Yeah. Here's what he said. Even those things that you would say, boy, that's not good, I'm still working good because I'm good. Yeah. I'm your father, and I love you. Yeah. You're my child.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally. Mm. Hard for us to imagine that.
Yeah. Well, man, as always, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and just understanding who God is and what he does. It's a good day. Thank you for watching and listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.